Lou, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I know it's a late session. We appreciate you guys coming out. I know you guys are excited to get to the block party and stuff, but don't worry, we got a lot of cool stuff to show you. You're gonna be going back, ready to code, try some of this out. So let's go. We're gonna hold all questions until the end, and we'll be here for some extra time. It's the last session, so we'll have some more time to talk to you guys. I'm Anir Agarwal. I'm a PM that works on a lot of the local IPC within Windows, from share to launcher. I'm also working on bringing these things across devices with Project Roam, which some of you guys might have seen.
I'm David Bennett. I'm a program manager on the App Fundamentals team. I work on app deployment and the app extensions feature we'll talk a bit about today. Really excited.
So we're going to be talking to you guys about app extensibility. So what's app extensibility? We want you to think of your apps as little puzzle pieces that plug into other apps. We want to help you take these puzzle pieces and put them together to build something amazing. Think about the browser. Websites launch each other, they use services, and users download extensions. And all of this together gives you that great experience that you expect and love today. That's what we're here to talk about in this session. Some great ways to take these experiences and bring them to apps. Make them work together as an ecosystem. Some of these things are going to be familiar. You might have heard of them. And some of them are entirely brand new. What are we going to be doing? Well, we're going to start with this awesome photo viewer. It has two killer features. You can open a photo and view it in this preview frame. And you can save this photo. There's a lot going on here.
I don't think you implemented save.
Yeah. What we're going to be doing is taking this photo viewer and turning it into a photo editor. We're going to be doing this entirely by using other applications. None of the logic is going to live in our code. So other apps are going to be doing all of our image manipulation, which is pretty cool. You might be wondering, why is this important? Well, we don't want you guys to reinvent the wheel. There's a bunch of apps out there that are amazing at what they do. And we want to help you leverage them rather than rebuild them. So in this session, we're going to be showing you how to crop using the Photos application that's built into Windows. It offers a great experience for your users. And better together, extensibility makes it really easy to plug in apps and services that your users rely on and use every day. In this session, we're going to build an application and have it have a Grayscale service. Our photo viewer is actually going to call into that application to perform the grayscaling using an app service. And finally, adding functionality. Have you ever loved an app, used it all the time, but thought it could use this one other feature that would make it even better for you? Well, extensibility lets you build that feature. It lets you make that happen. There's three main techniques that we're going to be talking about. The first is app handover. This is basically me starting at one place, and I launch a task and let another app handle it. The second is app services. How many of you guys were at the keynote yesterday? Did you guys hear about that Cortana stuff? That was pretty cool, right? Well, app services really power a lot of that experience. Think of these as like little REST services that live locally inside your app. And finally, app extensions. You guys have been asking about Edge extensions. But we weren't just building a platform for Edge, we were building it for anybody. So now any application can become an extension host. And you can also build extensions for other applications. And finally, there's a lot of stuff we're going to be showing you today. So we want to take some time to put it all together, show you how you can use these features together, hand in hand, and build an ecosystem. So first, I just want to walk through all of these features really quickly with you with an example. Let's say I want to add filtering to my application. How can I do that? Well, there's three different ways. The first is app handover. I've taken our photo viewer, we've gone beyond open and save, and now we've got a filter button that we've added. What's this button going to do? Well, when you press this filter button, it's going to actually take you to another app, and that's going to handle all of the experience for you. And when you're done, it's going to come back to your application. I don't really care how it does it. I just fired that to another app, and it handled it for me. It was pretty much a fire and forget for me. The next is app services. This starts pretty much exactly the same. I have my application, and I have this filter button. But now, when the user actually presses the filter button, it's not going to take me to another application. Instead, it's going to take me to a background service that lives in another application. And it's going to call on that to perform all of the image manipulation for me. In the end, everything's going to be loaded in line within the context of my application. And finally, we've got app extensions. We've got our photo viewer here. Does anyone see anything different on this slide? We've got no filter button, if you notice. So, the thing that app extensions let you do is you can load them right in runtime. So at runtime, I can load this extension and bring this filter button into my app. And when the user presses this button, it's actually handed off to this app extension. It lives within the context of my app, and I can manage it, and I can bring in its content and let it handle everything for me, which is pretty cool. So let's dig in to the first of these. App handover. When you think app handover, we want you to think of launch URI for results async. I know that rolls right off your tongue. Basically, this is the API that you'll be calling to make all of the magic happen. Let's start out with a quick demo. So we've got that photo viewer here. You see that open, save, but you also see this other button, crop. When I click on this button, it's going to take me to my pictures, and I can select one of these. I'm going to select this Project Rome one right here. We took this picture earlier today. I'm going to crop it, show you David. He's got some light shining on him.
It's either a halo or I'm a vampire that can't be photoed. I'm not sure which.
And as you notice, it launched the photos experience, and then it brought everything back into my application, which is pretty cool. Let's look inside and see exactly what happened here. So, when I called the crop button, it went to my crop click handler. There's really one important line here. What I'm doing is calling another function, and that's gonna be wrapping my launch URI for results call. Let's go into this function really quickly. In the beginning, I'm doing some file token management, but let's skip ahead to right here. This is where I'm specifying the application that I want to call. First, I create a new launcher options object. In that object, I specify the package family name of the application that I want to launch. In this case, it's the Photos application. And then we go a little bit further down. We can also specify any parameters that we want to send to this application. This is just a value set, which is a WinRT dictionary. At first, I'm sending the input token and destination token. These are just tokens that I'm handing off for file management between two apps. And then I'm sending over some basic information for the default crop. That was just the 500 width and height that you saw, but I could change that later. And finally, I'm calling launchURI for results async. The only additional thing that this is doing is it specifies this URI, microsoft.windows.photos.crop. And that's how the Photos app knows where to go. I'm also specifying the options and the parameters that you saw earlier. Let's dig into this a little bit. So, in our case, we knew the Photos app would be installed on the system. But if you might be calling another application that you don't know is installed on the device. The first thing you might want to do is verify that the protocol is actually supported on the device that you're on. We've made it really easy to do this. So what you do is specify a query URI. That's the URI that you'd be passing into LaunchURI. And you also specify the package family name of the application that you want to launch. And then you can call this API, query URI support async, with that query URI as well as the package family name. If it's successful, you're good to go, and you can call LaunchURI for results. If it's not, you have a few backup plans. One thing you can do is take users to the store and have them download that application. Now let's look again at how we used LaunchURI for results. Well, we saw this earlier. The two things that I needed to do were create a new launcher options object with the package family name of the app that I wanted to launch. The second thing I needed to do was specify that query URI I wanted to launch. Finally, I have the option to send over that value set of parameters. In this case, I didn't, and the last time I did. On the other side, I actually get an operation. I can take as long as I want to complete this operation. In the Photos app, I could have stood there forever. And then, when I'm done, I create a value set. And this is what's going to go back to the other application. I feed that with any information I want, and then I can call report completed, and that takes me back to the main app. Why might you want to use this? Well, first, it's a great way to do lightweight app handover. It was such a small set of code that you needed to call to launch the other application and display it and perform your operation. I also got to reuse instead of rebuild. I didn't have to spend time building that whole cropping experience. I got to leverage an awesome one instead. And finally, this can be a great technique for cross-promotion. Let's say that I'm an application in the store, and I'm very well established. A lot of people already have this application. You guys are using it. You're loving it. But I've created a new app now, and I want to promote that. I want you guys to know about this application. Launch URI for results is a great way to do that. I call it, I get to show people exactly what this application can do, and I can even take them to the store to download it if they don't have it. That's it for app handover. Let's move on to app services. Again, think of these as little REST services that live on a local device. Again, we're going to start with a little demo. Don't blink. You might miss this demo. All I'm going to be pressing is this grayscale button right here.
Ooh, looks so much more professional.
Yeah, exactly.
Call it pro scale.
So it took 1 second, but a lot has actually happened here. I'm actually calling into another application, and that's the one that's performing all the grayscaling for me. Let's look into that application real quick. So, the first thing I need to do when I'm creating an app service is specify it in the manifest. I go over to this declarations tab. In this declarations tab, I select an app service, and I add it. I've already added it, but that's all you need to do. There's two things that you need to fill out now. The first is the name of this app service, com.microsoft.grayscaleservice in this case. And the next thing you need to do is specify the entry point. That's actually where you'll be implementing your app service. Let's look inside this class really quickly. So the key thing that I need to do here is implement iBackground task. That's what's important for an app service. So there's a few overrides that I need to do. The first one is run. Here I'm setting up the trigger for my app service, and I'm also setting up any events. The most important event is the onRequestReceived. App services let you receive messages and respond to them. So when I receive a message, it's going to go directly to that handler. Let's go into that handler, because that's where most of our code is actually written. So in this handler, I'm using the basic deferral pattern, right? So I'm going to get a deferral, and when I'm done, I'm just saying I'm completed this async operation. The key things are, with each app service request, you receive a message in the arguments. And that comes in a form of the value set. That's what you saw in launch URI too. At the end, when you're done, you also send back a value set in the same exact way. In this value set, I'm expecting a command. You could specify anything, but this is just the API that we chose to use. This command, in this case, is going to contain grayscale. It could contain a bunch of other things too, like I could do more image manipulations in this service and have it open for anybody. But in this case, we're just looking at the grayscale. What I'm doing inside of grayscale is calling another function. And all that's doing is some basic image manipulation to grayscale my byte array. And we're not going to go into that here, but you'll be able to see this code later. After I've done that, I can send this response back to the calling application, right down here. I'm calling send response async with the return data that I've just filled out. And then I'm completing my deferral. So now we'd go back to the application that was calling this. Let's look inside that application. So this is the same app that you saw earlier. But instead, we're going to be going into the Grayscale handler. The first thing you need to do when you're using an app service is create a new app service connection. In this app service connection, you specify the app service name. You saw that in the manifest, right? Afterwards, you specify the package family name of the application that contains that app service. And then I call open async on this connection. If the status is successful, then I'm good to go ahead and I can start messaging back and forth between these two apps. How do I do that? Well, just as you saw on the other side, I'm going to build a value set that I send across. This value set has a command, and that's Grayscale. It also sends over the image in a byte array, so I can do the image manipulation. When I'm ready, I can go ahead and call send message async. And that takes it from this application and sends it to the other app. If that's successful, I'll get a response. And I can do whatever I want with that response. In this case, the response contains the byte array after the image manipulation, so after it's been grayscaled. After that, all I'm really doing is loading this right back into that preview image you saw earlier.
Never felt so good to be a byte array.
So let's go back and look at this a little bit further. Again, one thing you might want to do is query for support. You want to make sure that this app service is on the system. It's the same way as LaunchUI for results, right? The way you do this now is you call find app service providers async with the name of the app service. If there's something that exists, you're good to go. If not, again, launching the user to a store is a great idea. And then for creating the app service, there were a couple basic things that we had to do. The first was declare the app service in the manifest. You can do this in UI. You can also do this in the XML. So in the XML, what you do is create a new extension category, Windows.AppService. In that extension, you specify the entry point, which you saw before. In this case, it's called backgroundService.service. That's where my app service, again, is actually implemented. And finally, I have to name my app service. And this is so other people can query it and connect to it. What do I need to do next? Well, I actually need to code up my app service. Again, implement iBackground task, and you need to actually put this in the entry point. So basically here, it's in the class service, and it needs to live in the project background service. Now, how do you actually use an app service? You saw this too. To connect to one, what you do is create a new app service connection. In that, you specify the app service name, as well as the package family name of the application that you want to call. And when you're done with that, you can call open async to start the bidirectional messaging channel. After that, you're ready to start messaging. What you need to do is create your value set, and then you call send message async again, and you can start sending messages between these two applications. Let's look at what's happening under the hood here. First, I've made an app, and it has an app service. I've declared it so anyone on the system can start using it. When a client actually wants to use it, what it's doing is creating an app service connection. It's opening it. Inside my application, a background task starts. So now these two apps can start communicating back and forth. What happens when another app wants to use this background service? The same exact thing. So a second client creates an app service connection. It calls open async. Another background task is spawned within my host, and now we can start communicating back and forth. Let's look at a real life example of this. We have the Facebook app on Windows. It exposes a local endpoint so that other apps can load the newsfeed directly from there rather than hitting a REST service. The People app uses this. When you go to the What's New section, you see all the Facebook content being loaded directly from Facebook. This isn't going to the REST service. It's going to Facebook instead. and another application, anything I write. The Contoso feed can go ahead and use this as well and load the Facebook content directly into my app. If you guys want to check this out, there's actually a great demo down near the garage with the band. And what they've done is there's a remote control app that controls your car. It can unlock it and lock it. That lives locally on your device. But that actually has an app service connection open to the health app, so you can do everything from your Microsoft band instead, which is pretty cool. They'll show you exactly how to set that up, use it. They have a great coding session that you can try out too.
It's very awesome. Highly recommend you check it out.
Yeah. So why would you want to use app services? Well, first, background execution was awesome. With Launch URI, I actually had to show the pixels of the other app. But a lot of the times, I want to keep the user within my context, but still exchange information. And that's what app services are really, really good for. And the next thing, the messaging channel. All I'm doing is sending over value sets. So I can pretty much send whatever I want. In my case, I was sending a photo between the two files. Between the two apps. The other thing here is we're actually making this available across devices. So you can message from a Windows phone to an Xbox and to a Windows desktop, and even other platforms. For more on that, check out Project Rome. We have a booth that you can come out to. And finally, I mentioned a little bit about this earlier, but Cortana extensibility. App services are super crucial for Cortana extensibility. So, Cortana is your truly personal digital assistant. It's working across all of your devices to help you get things done. But what they don't tell you is it's actually using app services and Launch URI. I've been telling them to make this their marketing slogan.
I think your version is way better.
Yeah, right?
I don't know what they don't switch it.
So, how can you extend Cortana with app services? You can do a lot of the same stuff as you saw earlier. You're going to code it pretty much the same way, but you can use Cortana. I'm going to switch back to my demo box, and we're going to try this really quickly. Hey, Cortana, build sample. What can your app service do?
With app services, you can load content right into Cortana.
That was pretty cool, right?
Very cool.
I get to take my app content. My app doesn't have to be launched. And I can load everything right into Cortana.
That was by far the riskiest part of our demo today.
I'm glad it worked out. So you can load content directly from your app into Cortana. And the setup is pretty much the same. The only other thing that you need to do is set up a VCD file so Cortana knows what to listen to. And the other thing was Cortana actions. So you saw those inferences. When Cortana makes an inference, it lets you plug into that inference and have the user go into your application. The way it's actually doing that under the hood, there's two different things it can do. Well, one is Launch URI. It can launch your application and then put you in control. But the other thing it can do, which is really cool, which puts Cortana completely in charge of the experience, is have it call your app in the background. Now it can do everything on behalf of the user and on behalf of your application. And that actually uses app services. So for that full contextual delegation, you need to use app services. Now, David's going to come in. He's going to tell you all the cool stuff we've been working on with app extensions. He's really excited.
Yeah, thank you, Anir. I like to call it the peanut butter that is for that nice sweet jelly that Anir just described. App extensions. So app extensions, this is a brand new feature we've created in this release of Windows. And did any of you have an opportunity to check out the Edge session yesterday about the future of Edge?
Guess what, it has extensions?
Yes, Edge has a new extension platform. Allow you to plug in and improve the browser and make all sorts of great feature integrations. And we built that platform for all apps. We didn't just build it for Edge. Because extensibility is very important to not just not just the browsers. It's also important to Office. It's also important to Visual Studio. They have a great extension platform. Photo editing software has great extensibility. And it's very prolific in the games world, where games going back decades have mods and extensions allowing players to create new maps, new game modes, entirely new features. They really just extend the entire lifetime of the app and bring it really popularity well beyond the years of the app. So when we created that platform, we want to make sure that all of you can leverage all of the great extensibility features in all of your apps exactly as they are today with very little real work from you. So for the rest of the session, I'm going to show you exactly how to do that, and hopefully you can walk away with some great knowledge and motivation to go build an ecosystem. So I know it's kind of getting pretty late, but who wants to see a demo? You like to see demos? Want to see some app extension demos? All right. Well, I think I can handle that. So here we have our lovely picture from earlier of Project Rome. Have we plugged enough yet?
We're going to do it a couple more times.
Well, this is the booth that Anir mentioned, that we have a booth down there with Project Rome in it. And these are the great people you might see down there in the booth. But I have this great picture, and I love the save and the open feature. They're fantastic. But we get people that say, you know, this image would look way better if it was inverted or if you rotated it. And we just, you know, we were thinking, we don't really have time to put all these different features in this thing. But one of us had a great, I'm not sure which one of us had the idea, but we're thinking, why don't we build one feature and allow everyone else to plug into it and create new extensions and new functionality with this app? It's brilliant. So we went ahead and did that. So in this app, created an extension manager, which right now doesn't have anything in it. But we created one, we put it out there, and in the App Store, we'll just pretend this is the Windows Store here. You have Add Apex package. It looks a lot like PowerShell, but it's actually a store. And so we installed an app package, and a extension appeared in our extension manager. Now, I didn't install anything different than a normal Apex package. And now, let's do another one. Let's add rotate. Or no, wait, not add rotate, want add Apex package. Rotate. So we got a rotate app, and you see two extensions appeared, because in our model, you can have any number of extensions in your apps for other apps, even the same app. So they're all disabled right now because we like to give the user full control over your experience and make sure that things don't come into existence without their knowing about it. So we turn on these extensions, go back to our image editor, and now you see some new buttons over here, invert, rotate right, rotate left. So let's go ahead and invert this image and see how much better it looks. Looks way cooler.
Looks so cool.
Looks really, you look a little evil though, I'd say. A little evil in that picture. But it's just not enough to make it invert. Let's really like invert it. Let's put it upside down. So so now we have our much better looking Project Rome picture. And but that's not all. Wait, there's more. So wait a minute. Okay, just pretend that didn't happen. We'll open up our settings app. And then go into apps and features. And in here we can see our apps that we had installed. There we have our demo app. We also have the extension apps. Let's go ahead and remove rotate. So remove rotate, and you can see the buttons disappear. We no longer have the ability to fix that image. That's OK. Thank you. But wait, there's more. You may have noticed there's a remove button over here in our extension manager, because sometimes it's kind of inconvenient to go all the way into the settings UI and go and remove an app. So when you have an app that provides an extension for you, we added the ability to request that you remove the app if the user wishes to do that, just for convenience. And when we press that, we can see that a dialog popped up. And that dialog is not from my app. That's actually from the system. Because again, the user is in full control. And you're requesting to remove an app that another user may want to keep there. So we let them get their permission before we remove it, and that's okay, so away it goes. And in a nutshell, that's our basic extensibility story here for apps. So now, let's think about,
that was pretty awesome,
you can
right?
applause, I mean, to a man. I'll take that. So let's go ahead and, switch back. So how did this whole thing work? So the cornerstone of app extensions is really creating the relationship between the host app and the extension app. In order to do that, we create a new extension declaration in both the host app and the extension app. First one is the host app here, which is a really simple declaration. You just add a new category called Windows App Extension Host, and then you add the name of the extension. You kind of create your own namespace, whatever you want it to be. And then once you have the namespace, you can move along, and in the apps that are plugging into your app, they create a similar declaration, the new app extension category. This category also has a little bit more complexity to it. We have a name. That name matches the same name as you just saw in the host extension. We have an identifier, which in this case is called base, because we can have multiple app extensions for each package, and you can have multiple app extensions for each app, so you need a unique way to identify them. So like in the rotate example, you had ID of left rotate and right rotate. We also have the public folder. So this is a folder that you create in your app that is extending. And you put all the content that you'd like to share with the host app in that folder. Then at runtime, the host app can access that folder and load the content directly in through a broker. So now we're going to do the same thing as we did before, only this time I'm going to enable breakpoints, and we're just going to walk step by step through the code and see just how complicated this really was. The answer is not very complicated. This is a really risky, tricky part. I have to turn on breakpoints, which is right next to delete all breakpoints, which would be awful. Yeah.
You'd have me talking for a while?
Yeah, I'd have to have him talking for a few minutes and entertaining you while I fixed that. But thankfully, I don't have to do that. So the first thing we see is a new namespace. We have Windows Application Model App Extensions. It sits kind of right next to the App Service namespace, very conveniently. So if you're making an app extension host, this is the namespace that you need to use. If you're creating an app extension for a host, then you don't even have to worry about this, because you're already done at the last slide. So let's carry on and go ahead and we'll stop the existing app and restart. So we're starting up our app, and the first thing it does is it opens an extension catalog. So the app extension catalog is part of the new app extensions API. And anytime you install an app that uses the declarations that I just described to create an extension, we save the name of the extension into a catalog, and then we use the catalog to access all the extensions of that name and set up events and other interesting things. So the first step is creating a catalog, and that's what we do right away. And we see that the name of the extension that's loading is Build 2016 App Extensibility Demo. So we'll continue on. And the next thing it does is sets up some events based on the catalog. So we have the really simple, straightforward events like package installed, package updated, uninstalling, and updating. So we want to draw attention to that we're dealing with packages here. We're not really dealing with extensions, because all the extensions are contained in the packages. You watch for packages coming and going from the system, not necessarily extensions coming and going from the system. And these are all pretty straightforward, except for the last one. Now, I work a lot with app packages and being in deployment, but I imagine not a lot of you do, unless you love app packages. I love app packages. So we have package status changed. This is an event that occurs whenever the nature of a package changes, such as its availability, or its integrity, or its licensing state. So for example, if I were to install an app onto removable media like an SD card, and then I were to pull that SD card out of the device, the app would be inoperable. We wouldn't get a package uninstalling event, we'd get a package status changed event. And the same thing when the app gets plugged back in, you get an app package status changed event that says, hey, the app is now available. So it's a really important event to consider when you're creating an extension platform. The next thing we do is we start up and read all the existing extensions that are currently on the system. So inside the catalog, we can call the find all async method, which finds all the existing extensions of that name of the catalog and returns them in a nice, neat little list that we can just loop through and load. Of course, there are none right now, so it doesn't really do much. So here we are back with our empty extension manager, very sad. But we can go back and add our invert extension again. And then we break into the package installed event, which returns a set of extensions. And then we loop through each of those and load them. In this case, there's only one. Then when we load the extension, since we can have multiple extensions in each package, we create a unique identifier using the app user model ID and the extension ID. We also get access to the package object as an extension, which is really important if you want to find out things like the package identity or you want to verify the integrity of the package before you load it. It's always a good idea. We also have access to a new object here, the signature kind. So this is a great way to check the type of package that you're installing. So if you want to install packages only from the store, they're only store signed packages, you set your package signature kind store. If you want to create a developer mode where you turn on and you say, okay, go ahead and develop new extensions for us, you can allow developer packages. System is for the system, built-in system packages. There's also none, which you probably shouldn't ever load. And enterprise, if you're working with businesses, enterprise is a good signature to watch for. Then we continue on and try to load the properties of the extension. Now, properties are left off the declaration. It's a little bit more of an advanced feature of extensions. So I'll come back to that one in just a moment. So now we're back to our extension platform. We have the invert extension, the identity, or the image, and all the cool stuff. So we haven't enabled it yet. It's still disabled. So I'll turn it on, and what happens? This calls the load method inside of our extension, which calls get public folder async. So if you remember the declaration from earlier where you had the public folder, the public folder was declared by the extension as all the content that it has inside of it to share. So this is the extension calling that public folder and getting access to it as a storage folder. There's a lot of stuff really happening behind the scenes here. We have a broker that's reaching into the other app package install location, getting the content and returning it as a storage folder. But since the package may not have actually been run yet or had integrity checking, we also verify that integrity checking has occurred and that a license check has also occurred. So just to make sure that you're actually loading the correct and a valid package. And if any of those are not true, then you get a null response back. And how we implement our image extension is by loading an HTML file with some JavaScript, which does the image conversion. So when we get back to the app and go into the editor, when you hit the button, you're calling the JavaScript, which is doing the extension load and returning the image result, which I guess I can just show you here. Load up our project ROM again. And invert, go. And you'll notice it's a little bit slow because loading the JavaScript in this way is really not the best way to do it. And what is a better way, you might ask? Well, I'm going to show you that to you. I know, right? This is a great picture. Project Rome, in case you guys missed it earlier, it's a great thing to check out. So let's shift back over. Thank you, Anir. Mm-hmm. Oh, that might be useful. So let's go through a quick summary of our extension API we just showed. We start with the Windows Application Model App Extensions namespace, if you're going to build an extension platform. And then you open the catalog for the extension name that you chose. And you find all the extensions with find all async. You get notified whenever there's additional packages that come and go from the system that have extensions for you. And you can load content using git public folder async. Pretty straightforward. Great little review slide if you decide you want to go back to your room right after this and then go and immediately implement extensions. So three important things to remember with app extensions. First is that the host and the extension both opt into the relationship. So this is not something that's one-sided. You both have to say, hey, I'm creating an extension for you, and the other guy says, yeah, okay, I host your kind of extensions. So this is a more trusting relationship than just having an app service out there or just having LaunchUri. And the second is the host provides the dev platform. So in this case, we created just a JavaScript file load and call that provides our extensibility, but you can implement it in many different ways. And it's up to you to decide what is the best way for your app and how you best want to do that. It's also up to you to message that to your would-be developers who'd like to create these things for you. A great way to do that is to put it in the Extension Manager. So when you open up your Extension Manager, you can have a link to extensions to download, and you can also have a link to documentation on how to create them, help foster more extensibility for your app. And the last thing is probably the most important one, a really simple one, is app extensions are apps. These aren't just special little things that you attach. They're their own unique thing. They are normal AppX apps, AppX packaged apps. These apps are the same apps you can get off the store, the same apps you can upload to the store. So while the host provides the dev platform, we provide the distribution of the extensions and the monetization of those extensions if you so desire. If you create an awesome extension, why not monetize it? Great idea. So that kind of solidifies the basics of app extensions. And as the wonderful graphic just showed you, these things are all meant to go together, just like peanut butter and jelly. So a much better way to do what I did before is using app services with app extensions.
Do you want to show us how?
I'm glad you asked that, Anir. How about we show them exactly how to do that? Thanks for switching me over there. Let's go back to our app. We have it loaded up. So we showed you Grayscale as an app service. And it's probably not a coincidence that we're probably going to show you Grayscale as an extension, because it makes a lot of sense to do the same thing as an extension. So go to our Extension Manager. And now we'll add, through our awesome App Store, a Grayscale image extension. And of course, we're still in the debugger, so we break into package install event. The package install event calls load. Load goes to create the unique identifier. And then we move on to properties, which is what I skipped over before. So what's a little more about properties? So in the AppX manifest, where you declare your app extension, and this is the manifest in the XML form for the Grayscale app extension, we have the category Windows App Extension. We have the build 2016 App Extensibility Demo name, just like what you saw when we created the catalog. Only now we have a properties field under there, or element. And inside properties, you can kind of put whatever you want. You can create any sort of metadata and structuring that you want. It's a great way to do versioning. So you can say, hey, extension version 1 is what I'm targeting. So the host knows, oh, I need to do that instead of this other thing. And in this case, we're just using it to tell the app host that I have a service, I don't have JavaScript. So we have a service, provide the service name. We don't have to provide the app identity because that's just magic. But we grab the app extension properties and we load the properties, and then we break into searching through those properties to get the service name. So it's just a normal property set. You grab it, load the text in there, and now we have the service name. So that all happened before we even finished loading the extension. That's why properties are so great, because you don't have to load the extension in order to get the content out. So it's much better to use that than to use, say, like a config file inside of the extension. So we'll turn on our Grayscale extension. We'll go back to the storage folder, getting public folder async. In this case, don't really have anything to do, so we'll just move along. And now we have Grayscale enabled. And we now have two Grayscales, both using a service. So this time, we'll click the Grayscale button. And we'll break into the app service connection call. So Anir showed you all the details of how an app service connection works. I'm not going to go rehash that for you. But I did want to point out how we used the app service name and set up the connection. So the service name we got from the properties, so you don't have to fish around for that. And the app package family name is inside the app extension object. You just grab the package information, the identity, and the family name, and you're good to go. So you don't have to wonder, like, hey, where's this thing? Is it out there? What is the extension service I'm looking for? You have all the information you need. So with the app extension functionality, you can really pair up with the app service and do everything the service needs to do and have a reliable connection to that service. So we'll carry on. We have app service request, where, again, we take the pixels, the height, the width, send it off into the service. get the response back as a value set, and set the image. And there, once again, we look very professional. And Project Roam just really pops when it's in grayscale.
There's going to be a couple more plugs. Don't worry.
I think we—I don't know if we plugged it enough yet. So there we have app extensions using App Service, and App Service is a much faster way to do things. It's a much more convenient way to do things. There's also some other awesome reasons why you should use an App Service instead of using any in-host claiming. First off, the App Service runs in the context of the app that hosts that service. So when you call into an App Service, you're not using your own process, you're using another process that spins up. And so if that app were to crash or have problems, it wouldn't break down your app. Secondly, the app extension creator can then use whatever language they want to use. So they don't have to use JavaScript if they don't want to use JavaScript. They can use C# or C++ if they're more comfortable with it. All they really have to do is implement the service contract as you define it. And then they can use what's most comfortable for them. So that can help ease some of the barriers of adoption and creating extensions if you can let them use whatever sort of platform they want to use. And the third great reason is that when the app loads in its own app container, when the app service loads in its own app container, it has access to its own app data and has its access to its own capabilities. So you may want to have an extension do something that your app doesn't have capabilities to do, but the user gave another app the permission to do those things. So it does those things and then returns the result to you, and then you can carry on. And likewise, if they have some secret sauce that they like to use inside their own app, they can do that inside the app and you don't have access to it. And secondly, they don't have access to your stuff. So it creates a nice clean barrier of communication between the apps without risking either one. So I want to switch back here. So app extension service, that's why I call them peanut butter and jelly. They're fantastic together. So this creates our pillars of app extensibility. We have launch URI results if you want to hand off that experience to the extension app. We have app services for the background communication, so to kind of have the seamless approach. And then the glue that puts it all together is app extensions that give you the management and discovery and the ability to share the content. Particularly useful in games if you have very large files you need to share for maps and textures and things. You can load those right in through the app extension rather than trying to do that through a service. And then finally, we have the pillars of app extensibility. Use all three together and create awesome experiences, build a great ecosystem around your app.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, are there any related sessions that we can check out about this?
Yes, related sessions. There's some fantastic related sessions. So we have several great sessions here for you to check out. Universal App Model Overview, if you want to slightly rehash. Our illustrious leader, Andrew, over here, he has got the British accent. He lands the jokes much better than we do. And we have Edge extension, or the Edge session that features extensions. Great one to do. Cortana, of course, as we talk about Cortana extensibility. Project Roam.
One last time.
Well, there might not be. There might be another Project Roam. And then tomorrow, you can still catch this one. These other apps here, you have to check when they come on video. They've already occurred. But this last one, Windows Application Lifecycle, is on tomorrow morning, bright and early. So if you're coding extensions all night tonight, try to wake up early and go check that out. It's really helpful if you're interested in app services more, because they're talking about background execution and lifecycle and extended execution and other great stuff. But probably most important to you is all the code that we've shown today, app extensibility samples and app extensions, is going to be available on Git at this link. It's not quite up there yet, but it will be once our video is posted and we post the code up there. So you can see all the secret sauce and all the stuff that we did to make all this happen. And finally, please, please complete an evaluation form. We know you guys are awesome for sticking through us here at the latest part of the day. But we really value your feedback. Please take the time to fill out an evaluation form, unless you hated it, in which case you don't have to fill out an evaluation form. But if you love it, definitely fill out an evaluation form. We really love the feedback. Oops, I'll go back a minute. Can I go back? Yes, I go.
So we'll leave this up for you while we do questions.
Yep, and we also have some, you got the cards? Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Where'd you put the cards? We had some.
Well, we have two cards here for like gift cards that we'll
somewhere,
hand out to you guys.
Somewhere around here, we have gift cards. We don't know how we're going to give them out. Grace, guys. The question is, what is the blocking story for all three of those scenarios? So I don't quite understand the question.
Because it's kind of synchronous.
Like, it's asynchronous, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the calling app? Is it just there doing nothing?
Like, well, it's an async call. You can wait for the response to come and then handle it, or you can wait on it. It kind of depends on how long you expect it to occur. It's up to you how you do the blocking. Oh, the app service could crash, yeah. Well, you get the response back, and then you can just check the response fields. You get it as a value set, so you can make sure that all the response fields are how you like, and make sure that the message is good. And that goes for both sides of the equation. The app service can make sure.
Yeah. So when you do open async, you'll get a status back, and make sure that the app service connection was set up fine. And every time you send a message, you'll also get a response back. So like if it takes too long, we handle that for you.
Okay. We'll start at the microphone here. Yes, sir.
Hard code photo app, it's Microsoft, and knowing exactly the vocabulary it has a prior to shipping your app. Is there a way to dynamically say, I have this pixel format, who out there can do this editing thing and let the user choose which app they want to use?
So I think one of the ways you could do that is kind of through an extension, right? So someone can load an extension and that could actually be calling LaunchUri since that gives you that discovery.
To do the interactive in-place editing with controls and stuff, not just
yes.
So how, okay, but is there an example for that?
Yeah, no. That's
yeah. The other thing I'd say is, I'm going to guess writing something to disk and reading it back. For most of these things, you're not going to just the reading and the I/O is going to kill your interactivity for half the filters, right? So, is there a way you could do like a shared memory thing or shared hardware surface app extension, or at least an app extension? I guess it's your own extension. You don't care. Mm-hmm. It's running in process. Somewhere you're not copying memory, you're not scribbling to disk, right? You're just...
It's up to you.
Yeah. Up to you? Okay.
Yeah, it's really up to you.
It's really up to you to how you want to...
I mean, there's no iOS app which does things with a CPU or writes them to disk. I don't think most of them is all on the GPU. Oh, cool. Yeah, this is promising. Thank you, guys.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. And we'll go over this side.
By the examples, if I understood it correctly, I'm writing an app extension for a specific app. Is that correct? Or is there a way to like create an extension that could work like for say in any like web browser or any image app or something like that?
That is a fantastic question. So the question was, are you making an extension for a specific app versus multiple apps? And the answer is you're making it for the contract name that you specify. And any number of apps can create a host that hosts that type of that name for extension. So if you have like one app that is, it's like you got our Photos app. We have our very basic Photos app as open and save. It's a nice trial version, but we have extensions. We could also have our Pro Photos app that has a few more things like crop and grayscale built in, and that also could use the same set of extensions by using the same extension name and handling it the same way. It's kind of a developer ecosystem.
If we use the context of like a web browser, because we're familiar with that, they would all have to agree upon that same collection to use the same extension.
Yes, they would have to agree on the same kind of standard on how they want to handle that type of extension, yes.
All right.
Great question. Thank you, over here.
So I guess my question, obviously everything looks really great in terms of capability. I'm quite keen to know what you guys are going to do in terms of leading by example, especially when Windows Next or Summer Update, whatever we're calling it, is coming out. What can we expect to see in terms of using inbuilt system apps and the stuff that gets loaded onto the average user's machine?
So the question is, what are we going to do to lead by example in terms of having apps that use extensions? Is that correct?
Yeah, or even apps that, we can extend, for instance.
We kind of already have a little bit of lead by example with LaunchUri being supported by the photos and other similar kind of behavior. And we have Edge using our same extension platform we showed you here to create all of their extensibility.
And Cortana is going to be doing a lot of the app services stuff, app so services that's going to be a great way to lead by example there.
Yeah.
App services.
So yeah, yeah. So Cortana, putting that one aside, because we can already start building that. I'm thinking, for example, you know, what can we do from the Photos app? Can we extend on the Photos app, as you mentioned that, as one of the...
That's great feedback. I think we'll go ahead and give that to those teams.
We can send that off to the Photos team, yeah.
Awesome.
And if you have specific examples that you would like to
definitely... Yeah, definitely tell us.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll have a brainstorm.
Yeah. Okay. This is brand new tech, so the even our own apps really haven't had too much time to adapt to it other than Edge. But now that it's out there, I think you can expect to see some more apps start to adopt it over time.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And we also have a great example in the app services front of the band.
Yeah, the Microsoft band is using it with the health app a lot.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Okay. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking of discoverability.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I need some functionality, I know there is this app that has the functionality I need. How will I know what namespace is and how to connect to that app service?
Great question. And that's one that the question is, how do you discover that app service is available or LauncherEye is available? Especially if you want to build a feature around that functionality, how do you know it's going to be there for you? Is that accurate? Yep.
Yeah.
So this is one of the big reasons why we have the extension platform, is because with extensions you can actually guarantee that and get the information such as the package family name from the service and or from the extensions. And then you can also
I'm looking for I know a certain app has functionality. I'm not sure if that functionality is exposed as a service or...
Okay. So that's to the developers to kind of expose and show their API.
So it's more of a documentation thing for every app.
And also the extensions that would be in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also find out...
Yeah, the extensions, they are extensions.
They are
defined, yeah. Yeah, but I'm thinking more of services and the handover...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How you know what, when or what app. And
so I think extensions help in that discoverability story for services and LauncherEye as well. But yeah, I think so the developer at some point will need to show what like the platform for an extension looks like or what the API surface of a service looks like as well.
Okay.
So right now that is up to developers.
Okay.
Well, the services in particular have a discovery mechanism, right?
I mean, but you still have to know that like the name of the service. Yeah, I think that's true. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to publish that information. I think that's definitely something we want to look into. Is like a way to make all of that, is the centralized place to put all of these app services.
Seems like it could be something extra in the dev center when we're submitting packages.
That would be awesome. Yeah, that's a great idea.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Very good feedback.
Okay. Let's jump back here for
the next
question.
Echoing that, I have other questions, but echoing that, like, there are apps for Microsoft, so like the Photos app. So if there was at least a Microsoft list directory of the platform apps, that would be amazing. And the Photos app, God, having cropping, yes. unfortunately, my apps I already put in like the month of work to like make a crop experience, but it's nice.
Well, now you can put in some work and create an extension platform and then just outsource that.
That'll be another month, yeah. love the cropping stuff. Do you happen to know if that works right now for phone as well as for desktop?
I've tested that on phone as well.
Okay, great. And that like works over, you know, like, I don't know, 1 gig phones. You know, what I'm thinking about is like, you know, your app's already using quite a lot of memory, and then you shell out to this other app. I guess suspend and shutdown might happen on your app, and you got this await going on.
Let's follow up on that. We can touch base afterwards. I haven't tested it on a low-end device personally.
Because I know that the file picker APIs have the same problem. And
that makes sense.
That's like kind of mystery stuff as to how like the continue APIs got kicked out, and we've got this nice await now. But
yeah.
and then video trim on the Photos app would be amazing as well to have that out of box of just add those value sets, get the trimmed video out.
I think we'll send this entire video directly to the Photos team so they can see all the talking to you, Photos team.
and then that was really cool that you're doing image translation on JavaScript. You were saying that there's a better way.
The better way was to use the app service. Yeah.
Okay, but
they use the direct pixel manipulation. It's a lot easier. I spent a rather absurd amount of time converting image from bytes into a base64 string and then back again for the JavaScript to work. It's kind of slow. It's not very performant either way. Although you can use the Chakra engine, which is the engine that Edge uses for JavaScript processing, to do that much more efficiently. And that's available via Bridge. If you kind of Bing that a bit, you can do Chakra Bridge, and you can get access to the same very very efficient JavaScript engine that Edge uses.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'd love to talk to you more about that because, you know, JavaScript filters or image manipulation, it's a very mature API.
Yeah, it was actually pretty easy to make the actual extension once you got the data using JavaScript. It was pretty cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question.
Yeah, you showed app services as kind of an async request response pattern. Can you also do something where more you set up a notification that occurs from the service where it might be watching something, sending update notifications to clients, or?
Yeah, you can hook that up a lot yourself. So basically, you'd set up an event that you want to fire and that would notify another application, right? So it's kind of up to you on how you develop it. Okay. It is like a request response pattern, but that's like what we see on the web today, and that's part of why we wanted to use it going across devices, since we're doing it across the cloud, and like HTTP request response makes a lot of sense in these scenarios.
Okay, now are any of these available if you had an app package with Centennial to be able to access any of these?
Absolutely. If you convert an app to Centennial, it becomes a UWP app in the end, and it can start leveraging UWP features. I'm pretty sure that was actually in the Centennial talk.
They did talk about it.
They showed Launch UI.
I figured I'd just
ask
specifically about this feature.
Yep, absolutely. You can start on your way to convert and start leveraging UWP features right after you get done converting in with Centennial.
All right,
then you can keep on converting and then use it on phone and use it on Xbox and HoloLens and everywhere else. Extension, same deal. These are all UWP platform features that are available anywhere the UWP platform is.
Let's jump back there again.
Yep, jump over here.
It's related. How about Win32 desktop apps? Everything supported?
No.
Anything supported?
You'd have to convert it with Centennial, which is a really awesome thing to do. There's a great. We have like a stand out there too to actually
try it out.
You can bring your app and they'll convert it for you down in the expo hall. It's pretty awesome. Yes, we're here.
Yes. You described the three methods here, like app service and URI launch and the extension, but they are all limited to the UWP ecosystem. But like the keynote this morning, the office, they can provide the add-in function. So is it possible in the future that the app service to support a web, like HTTP request to launch app service?
Oh, you mean cross-device app services?
Yes.
I think that's Project Rome, isn't it?
Yeah. so we'll be looking at some of that in Project Rome, but directly supporting it from the web, I don't think we've looked at yet.
But right now,
But they're essentially hosting you online.
Exactly.
But right now, only Office series, they can support editing, right? The third-party app, we cannot utilize something like
that. Yeah. That add-in,
yeah.
I think when you install an add-in on Office, there's a bit of metadata that comes back. Mm-hmm. But that JavaScript can live wherever you want
yeah.
it to
live. You could totally create a platform that in your like extension properties or a config file. You can say, hey, this is actually hosted in the cloud. You don't have to use App Service or LaunchUI if you want to actually say, hey, this is a cloud connection, and have the host make an HTTP request to get that information back. And that's something the host has to decide to do. So they could use the same platform to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.